The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We have spent several, I think four programs talking about sound in insects, and we will leave that topic. Perhaps some of you have ceased to have much of an interest in the subject. I can understand that. Most folks really are not, don't have as much interest in insects as they ought to, and certainly not as much as an entomologist does. But we'll talk now a little bit about this particular order of insects, the Orthoptera. As I suggested on several programs, an introductory one, I think, a number of programs ago, the etymology of the word, the P-T-E-R-A, simply means wing. Ortho means straight-winged. I fuss at my students about etymology of terms as being the only successful way to wrestle with the volume of technical terms you're going to run into. The word orthodox, same form as we see here in Orthoptera, straight. D-O-X is an irregular Latin form that means to speak. Doco, docere is the verb. So orthodox literally means to speak straight. And we refer to a person who is orthodox if they are speaking what the scripture teaches as opposed to speaking things it doesn't teach. So in this case, we're talking about straight wings. Orthoptera are quite varied. In fact, in the years that I have been teaching entomology, when I first started, good grief, seems to me there were 24, 25 orders. Now we are up over 30, I think. And some of that has come about because of a difference of opinion about the organism that ought to be present in Orthoptera. This order contains grasshoppers, crickets, walking sticks, mantids, cockroaches, and rock crawlers. Now, that is a varied group. And in recent years, there have been the mantids, for example, have been put into a separate order. The walking sticks have been put into a separate order. And there are some who would stick others of these in a separate order. That is not of concern to those of you who are listening to this radio program about it. It sometimes causes entomology students a little difficulty in that they find themselves having to wrestle with a new view of what the classification of insects is. But that's par for the course. That's just the way they are. That's the way science is. Fortunately, for beginning entomology students, most of the Orthoptera are fairly large. Oh, I would say most of them are more than an inch. You got some of the large grasshoppers, I think of lubber grasshoppers, that get up to be 2 inches long, very stout-bodied. You have insects like the mantids in the tropics. I have seen tropical mantids that are up toward a foot in length. Some of the, I said walking sticks. Walking sticks are not mantids. Walking sticks are what the name implies. But the comment about the size is about right. Walking sticks that are up toward a foot long. But you also have tropical mantids that get to be up to that size as well. We have some on display in the science building that, if memory serves me, they're not a foot. They're probably getting on toward 10 inches in size. So a little tough to miss these things if you're out in nature and see them. And for most folks, if they don't know what they are, why, they're a little leery about approaching them. Most folks have certainly are familiar with crickets. And herein lies at least something of a problem. When I was growing up, at least most children were quite familiar with Jiminy cricket. And depending on what sort of movies the children watch today, I think this probably is far away from the interest of most children. It has been supplanted by all sorts of imaginary and fictitious superheroes, etc. Anyhow, you sit and watch that film with Jiminy Cricket in it, and it becomes an anthropomorphosing to the point that Jiminy Cricket actually seems to be alive. Makes similar comments about Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or whatever. And while I'm sure most children understand that these creatures are not people, I also suspect in many cases they don't think about that very much, and so they tend to attribute to insects, in this case, characteristics which really are imaginary rather than real. There is a collection of characteristics which was the reason for sticking all of these things into the same order at once. The size, relatively large. Most of them are winged. There are a few exceptions to this. The wings are large, many veined. The front wings are often markedly different from the rear wings, sometimes referred to the front wings as tegmenta. The hind wings usually are membranous and clear. The females of many of the species have quite long ovipositors. This is true. Egg layer, the ovipositor is a term you're not familiar with. Grasshoppers, for example, can extend their abdomen and their ovipositor down into the ground quite a distance to lay eggs. The tarsi, the last segment on the end of the insect leg, is the tarsus. And there are segments within that, probably equivalent of our shins. That portion of the insect, in the case of grasshoppers, usually will have 3 to 5 segments in it, as opposed to some of the other insects. And the mouth parts are chewing. So these are the characteristics that generally would be the basis of deciding that what the insect you're looking at ought to be classified as an orthopteran. And the divisions that I mentioned to you a while ago really, I don't think, need to concern us particularly. I'm reasonably certain that we will see new orders of insects added to our classification. In all likelihood, I'm not going to be around to have to worry about that, but I suspect that will continue. But let's look now at some of these organisms that we find in the order. It's one of my favorites. It would probably be in the second rank of favorites. I guess if I were going to have to pick a single order as a favorite, it would be the beetles, Coleoptera. And we'll talk about that a bit when we get there. But the reason that this is appealing, this order, the classification is fairly simple. Some of the orders, it really gets difficult in trying to identify the organisms. Most introductory entomology courses, I hope, require that the students key out, identify to the family level the organisms that they're working with. And Orthoptera is fairly easy to do since they are very diverse. You don't really have to be too bright to figure out differences, that there are differences between a cricket and a grasshopper, or a grasshopper and a praying mantis, for example. So it's fairly easy, and it's a good order for people who are starting entomology to work on. I think I've mentioned to you before, there are two, rather than taxonomic, common ways of dividing this group into the longhorn and shorthorned grasshoppers, and the word horn here has to do with the length of the antennae. If the antennae are longer than half the length of the body, they are classified as longhorn organisms. If they are shorter, they are classified as shorthorn organism. And the family name for these organisms is Tetragoniidae. I don't know why anybody who's not an entomologist would worry over that, but that is the characteristic. And there are some rather interesting ones. We have cone-headed grasshoppers here, long grasshoppers with a little cone in the middle of their head. For some of you, katydids are actually long-horned grasshoppers. They are probably most familiar for their songs, and usually in the evening and at nighttime, rather in the day. There are, well, the rest of these are not common, I think. Some shieldback grasshoppers, they're meadow grasshoppers, so that if you're out walking out in a cow pasture or weed patch and start catching grasshoppers, it would probably, many of them would be these, the meadow grasshoppers. And there's also a group known as humpback crickets that are found here. And if you were to see a picture of them, I happen to be looking at a picture of most of the ones I've just talked to you about. The cone-headed ones, the antennae, are about three-fourths the length of their body. And here, on occasion, we can get some of these, usually green, and really can fly. If you're out trying to catch them and you disturb them, they will fly for 50, 60 feet. And you try to chase them down, well, it gets a little interesting on occasion. But their antennae will be about three-fourths the length of the body, slim-bodied insects, as opposed to the huskier ones. Katydids, usually the antennae are going to be as long as or a little bit longer than the body length. And some of them have a curved, sword-shaped ovipositor. The meadow grasshoppers, the longest of all, and their antennae are body length or body length and a half or more, very, very long antennae. And sometimes, obviously, the antennae get broken off and you might mistake them. There are the technical terminology here. The old terminology that I was accustomed to involved the word locust, locustidae. And this term really doesn't convey much of anything today. The immediate connection, for those of you that are familiar with the scripture, is the swarms of locusts in Egypt, and we'll probably talk about these a little bit. So we have a group of insects, very similar, and yet there are certain characteristics that tie them together, and yet very, very different. And it speaks again simply of the origin of these really cannot be understood well on the basis of an evolutionary process. There was not a single common ancestor, even for these longhorn grasshoppers that we're talking about, let alone the rest of them as well, and give testimony then to the biblical instruction regarding a creator responsible for bringing into existence his creatures.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.